The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For more information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.
Let's turn together to the book of Philemon. We want to begin going through that book, and we'll try to consider the first 7 verses of Philemon. Philemon's simple because it only has 1 chapter. So go to Philemon chapter 1, if you will. Philemon, begin reading in the first verse. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved fellow laborer, and to our beloved and Archippus, our fellow soldier, into the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. So first of all, we see the Apostle Paul identifying himself first and foremost as a prisoner of Jesus Christ. We talked last time about being a servant, but the servant's primary identity is not a servant of their master. The servant's primary identity is being a servant of Jesus Christ. And Paul's primary identity, even though on the books he may have been technically a prisoner of Rome, as he's under house arrest in Rome at this time as he's writing this epistle, but his primary identity is not a prisoner of Rome, it's a prisoner of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Right? Timothy, our brother, and Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, we find in verse 2 that the church is in his house. He is laboring and serving in the kingdom, at least a minister most likely in the church at Colossae, maybe even the pastor or the co-pastor of the church at Colossae. But the church was meeting in his house, which was the primary location. They typically did not have a designated separate meeting house. Instead, they typically met in the homes of the members. Verse 3, we have Paul's customary greeting. Very, very interesting study. I was looking at this recently. Of Paul's greetings and then his benedictions, his goodbye salutations. And this is the common terminology that the Apostle Paul would use in his greetings, in his epistles. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's certainly no better greeting we could say, you know, if you met someone on the street. How are you doing today? Grace and peace to you. And then he closes it always out by saying, and he adds a little bit more to it here in verse 25, which I think is very appropriate for what he's admonishing Philemon to do here. His typical closing is that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. But then he adds a little bit more to it this time. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. With your spirit, because he's going to have to forgive Onesimus who has wronged him. But we have this, again, typical greeting, grace and peace unto you. And where does grace come from? Well, it comes from God the Father. And where does peace come from? It comes from Jesus Christ, right? And I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. I tried to mention this quite a few times on the radio as we've been going through prayer and trying to consider that during our time on the radio program, and I can just only imagine what the Apostle Paul's prayer life must have been like, because he told so many people that I make mention of thee always in my prayers. And I can't remember which epistle it was, but he says, it may have been the Romans, where he said, I call down God to bear me witness of this, that I'm making mention of you always in my prayers. And you may be like me, I don't really want to call down God to attest to my prayer life. But the Apostle Paul was confident enough that he was willing to do that. And I can only imagine, it says in Acts chapter 6, that the ministry was supposed to give themselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Well, the Apostle Paul sure did that. I don't know how many hours a day he prayed. And again, as we've been trying to consider on the radio, a lot of our prayer life is not down on our knees in our closet. You need to have that time. But a lot of our prayer life, especially as we mentioned on Sunday, is in just our daily actions. Those small little quick prayers, especially Nehemiah, as he's interacting there with the king and about to petition him to give him resources to go back and rebuild that wall. It says, so I prayed to the God of heaven. He prayed to God in the middle of a conversation with the king. Okay, and that's the kind of prayers we really need to be having. That's the kind of prayer life we really need, is in the midst of our conversations, in the midst of just our daily actions, we're just constantly mm-hmm. praying and having communication with God in our mind. That's what praying without ceasing looks like. But it certainly appears the Apostle Paul spent a lot of time truly down on his knees. Mm-hmm. And again, if he's just writing this, this just happens to be what the Holy Spirit preserved for us in inspired Scripture. But if he wrote this much in what is preserved for us in inspired Scripture, I can only imagine how many other private letters he wrote right. that probably weren't inspired. And for lack of a better term, Philemon is somewhat of just a rank-and-file minister at a rank-and-file church. Mm-hmm. Don't you think about that? This is not Peter. This is not Barnabas. This is somewhat of a rank-and-file preacher, a rank-and-file member of a church. And he says, I'm praying for you individually always.
Right.
Again, amazing example of the Apostle Paul's prayer life. Verse 5, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. And I like this disposition here. First of all, we find that he had a testimony that other people noticed and acknowledged his love and his faith. You know, he's not going around telling everyone about how great his faith is. Other people acknowledge that. Other people notice that. But notice first and foremost, his love and faith was not shown directly to the people he was ministering to. His love and faith was shown primarily and first and foremost to Jesus Christ, yeah. right? Matthew 25, and so as much you've done to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. So we show love to others, but by doing that, we show love first and foremost to Christ and to all saints. Now, he's also reminding him here, kind of building it up a little bit. I don't want to say he's just puffing him up, but he is reminding him of, think about all the love that you've shown toward all saints. Now, Onesimus, you may not have thought he was a saint when he left, but now he's showing back up as a saint. Mm-hmm. So remember the love that you have toward the brethren. Remember the love that you have toward the saints, and receive this saint that's now showing up who was previously your runaway slave. So he's reminding him, you've shown this love toward the church. You've shown this love toward all children of God. And you're going to have to do it now in a very manifest way, as Onesimus is showing up with this letter. But you see the amazing testimony that Philemon has here, that his reputation, and this is what we really want to focus on in verse 7, that the bowels of the saints are refreshed by Philemon, but this is the kind of testimony that he has among the church, the kind of testimony he has that his love and faith, it's also not not discriminatory. You know, I'm not just showing it to one person, a prominent person. He has love and faith toward who? Toward all saints,
right?
Right? Toward all of God's people and all of God's children. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Again, the communication, the outward expression of your faith by the good works that you perform. Verse 7, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. We have great joy and consolation in thy love. You know, it's a great joy and testimony to see others living a life of agape love. It's an encouragement to you. And no doubt Philemon was an encouragement, an example to the church that he was serving there at Colossae. It says Paul writing to Timothy that you need to be an example of the church that you're ministering to. And the very first thing that he says there you need to be an example of is in word, in our speech. That's very convicting. I don't know about you, Brother Joe, but that's very convicting. That my speech needs to be an example. But right up there at the top of the list, I can't remember what's after in word, but right up at the top of the list is charity. And charity, setting the example, setting the tone for what love and agape love looks like in action. And Paul says, I have great love and joy watching you exhibit that kind of love to others, but particularly this testimony. Particularly this testimony that his reputation among others. Again, this is not a title that Philemon is taking on himself. This is Philemon's reputation among others and in the mind of the Apostle Paul, that the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee. Now, the word bowels there simply means inward parts, or primarily your heart.
Right.
Okay? So we'll just use that language. That the heart of the saints, the heart of the saints, are refreshed by thee. Refreshed. The word Philemon, you may know that there are multiple words in the New Testament that are commonly used for love. You have eros, that is a husband and a wife romantic kind of love. You have agape love, a self-sacrificial love. But then you have phileo, that is brotherly love, the root word for the city Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Well, you'll notice the name there, Philemon. What's the root of that? It's phileo, right? So Philemon's name means one who kisses, all right? Now, that's not speaking in a eros romantic way. Think about the New Testament admonitions where it says, greet one another with a holy kiss. Well, you know, they're from Europe, you know? They're from over there in the Arab countries in Europe. You greet one another with a holy kiss, you know, left, right. That's how you greet people, you know, whether you're families or other people. So the way that you exhibit brotherly love, especially in that first century culture, is by that brotherly love, holy kiss. Okay, so Philemon, his name means one who kisses in a brotherly love sense, and He has no doubt exhibited that love by his actions, but the heart of the saints are refreshed by his love. And that word refresh means to repose, to take ease, or to give rest. So what do you think about that? That his manner of life, his actions, gave rest to the hearts of the saints. What a great testimony.
Amen.
Right? That his actions gave rest to the hearts of the saints. And I pray that's the kind of testimony that we could have. I know there's some people, we can just be honest together tonight, there's some people that when you see them coming, you're just disappointed you're seeing them coming. You know, you're not gaining rest and repose by their presence. You know they're going to complain. You know that they're going to stir things up. You know that they're going to say things that they shouldn't say. They're going to cause friction. They're going to cause, you know, hostility. And certainly the testimony that we should have, certainly in the church, but in all of our actions, is that we bring rest to the hearts of the people around us. You know, Jesus said they got all worked up in John chapter 13, when he says, I'm going away. And that made me nervous too. I mean, I hadn't been paying much attention for 3.5 years where he's saying, I'm going to be crucified. I am going. And then finally, it's getting real. And he said, I'm going away. And that's when he said, let not your heart be troubled. Now, what's the remedy for a troubled heart? Faith. You believe in God. Believe also in me, right? And think about heaven too. In my Father's house are many mansions. So have faith and look toward a better world, right? And that's going to solve that spiritual heartburn that you have. That's going to remedy that troubled heart that you have. But our hearts can get pretty troubled here in this world. They can get anxious too. Isn't it great to be around those people that give your heart rest and peace.
Amen.
And calm? And I want to be one of those people. I'm not very good at it, but I certainly want to be. You know, I think about, and I don't mean to puff him up if he ever happens to listen to this, but someone that I think about, and I haven't had spent near as much time with him as I would like to, but someone who I just love and has just such a calming and a soothing presence when I'm around him is Brother David Crawford. He just has such a oozing of peace and joy, and it's just, you know, I spend 5 minutes with him and feel like I've spent half a day with him. Yeah. And it's just so intoxicating, really. And there's a couple other people I would mention, but this phrase, Brother David Crawford, just really comes to my mind, because I believe he rests and reposes and refreshes the heart of the people around him.
Amen.
And that's such a great example, because the reality is there's some people that don't. There's some people that are just wound tight and always wanting to cause friction, and you just get disappointed when you see them coming. Certainly we want to be the opposite of that. This word repose primarily is used as rest. I want to look at a couple of verses where this is used elsewhere to give the picture of this and the picture of hopefully the kind of disposition that we can have of putting other people's hearts at rest. Matthew chapter 11, I know you know these verses well. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. And see, that's another thing about someone whose hearts are refreshed. You know, it's not just that you enjoy being around them. It's that it's a particular soothing when something's going wrong.
Amen.
Right? It's a particular soothing. And what a great attribute for a pastor such as Philemon, right, to have that attribute. Also, we're being honest and real tonight. There's some pastors that don't have that bedside manner.
Right.
There's some pastors that don't have that soothing presence. But come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. That, you know, that's when you want to be around someone that gives rest to your heart, doesn't it? When you're laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Now, many times, how does God, Jesus Christ is speaking here, I'm going to send you rest. How does he send rest for you when you're heavy laden? A lot of the times it's through a brother who is right. going to refresh and rest your heart, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of times it's through an interaction with someone else. And certainly we want to be ministers that can be used in the Lord's hand to do that. Let's look in the book of Revelation, where this word is used a few more times. And I want you to notice the distinction here. It's not just that, oh, you know, having a good night's sleep or something. It's that you're in a conflict. You're in a burden. You have a heavy laden, and being around this person gives you a rest, right? A rest from that. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And the white robes, speaking of these martyrs here, the white robes were given unto them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season. Rest yet for a little season. Now, what's that in contrast to? It's contrast to all the affliction and trouble and tribulation that they encountered here in this world.
That's right.
You see that? The distinction between heavy laden, tribulation, burden, conflict, and problems, and then a blessed rest. And what a blessing it is, if you've ever experienced that peace that passes all understanding when you're in the midst of conflict. What a blessing and joy that is to feel that, just rushing of the Holy Spirit on you. Revelation chapter 14, very similar language here. Revelation 14 and verse 13, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their what? From their labors, right? Mm-hmm. Laboring and are heavy laden, that they may rest for their labors, and their works do follow them. So this idea of the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, it gives an idea of you putting other people's hearts at rest. And I would like to just highlight, there are many examples we can use. I'm going to highlight just a couple of them to try to make us think about this point. You know, we think about Barnabas. Barnabas, who was named by others. Again, this is not, his name was, I believe, Joseph. But it was, we know him as Barnabas, and the reason that he got that name was because of the way that he ministered to other people, okay? Mm-hmm. It was exhibited and evident to other people, and the apostles gave him the name of Consolation, the son of Consolation, which is what Barnabas means. What does that mean? That he consoled people around him. Now, we looked at him recently and how he encouraged others when Paul... Saul at that time had just been converted and everyone doubted him. He's the one who stood up for Saul to the Jerusalem church. And then he was the one who stood up for John Mark when Paul was ready to ride him off. No doubt he provided rest for both of them in those circumstances, didn't he? but his disposition and his interactions with others provided rest and consolation. And so much so that they named him that.
Yeah.
Right? Wouldn't that be a great commendation to not just have that disposition, but so much so that the preachers in your church are naming you the son of consolation? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and we see this disposition of Titus. Titus, again, the disposition between... conflict, trouble, and then someone arriving and providing peace and calm and rest in the midst of that trouble, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Now, again, notice the conflict. Notice the conflict. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and in verse 5, "For when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, and we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, and within were fears." So everywhere I looked, there was nothing but problems. Externally, I'm facing persecution. And internally, we are having fear, right? Without were fightings, and within, everywhere I looked, there's nothing but problems. Now, how did God, like we said in Matthew chapter 11, he said, "Come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, and I will give you rest." How did Jesus Christ give rest to Paul in this moment? By the coming of Titus. By the coming of Titus. Verse 6, "Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down, comforteth me by the coming of Titus, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us of your earnest desire and your mourning and your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more." You know, he's in turmoil. Everywhere he looks, both externally and internally, he sees nothing but problems. Oh, but then I see Titus coming. Then I see the brother that's going to refresh and rest my heart. And again, how did God send rest to Paul? It was through Titus, right? It was through Philemon. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And we find here Epaphroditus. Verse 25. "Yet I supposed it necessary to send unto you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not to him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. And I sent him, therefore, the more carefully, that when ye see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation for the work of Christ, who was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me." Epaphroditus was willing to physically give up his life for Paul, right? He showed that same disposition of service that Philemon did, right? That his work and faith was exhibited to all saints and to Paul. Paul doesn't really elaborate on it here in the epistle to Philemon, but I would really like to know really what he was describing when he said, essentially, you owe me your life. You owe to me your own life also. You know, maybe the Apostle Paul was in the exact same circumstance of Epaphroditus right here, that he went above and beyond for the benefit and maybe even to save Philemon's life. You know, it may be in a material sense, but maybe not only in a spiritual sense. But we see Epaphroditus here brings comfort and rest, and he ministered to him. He ministered to Paul in that moment. You know, we can just think about so many examples throughout the scriptures. You know, I think about Elijah and how how disappointed he was and discouraged he was. And, you know, I'm the only one left. And, Lord, just take my life. It ain't worth living anymore. And then, you know, he said, first of all, here's a little something to eat. You know, you're getting a little hangry. You know, you're tired. And then he said, go take a nap. Get something to eat, go take a nap. So that's good advice for anybody, right? I tell you, when you start having those bad thoughts, go get something good to eat, go take a good nap. Mm-hmm. But there's some other things that he let him know. You know, I'm going to have you go anoint the king. There's more work for you to do. But he also gave him a laborer to labor with him.
That's right.
He gave him Elisha, right? He gave him Elisha to bear the yoke with him. And no doubt Elisha ministered to his heart, ministered to his soul many times. So we have Philemon here with this testimony that the bowels of the saints are refreshed by, that the heart of God's people, the heart of God's people are encouraged by your life, are encouraged by your presence. And no doubt, I certainly want to be, I want to be like David Crawford in just about every area, especially preaching, all except for some of his near-death mishaps. I'll be happy to sidestep some of them. But he's just one of those people that I just love being around. Why? Because he refreshes my heart. He really does. And I hope that we can be some of those people, right? That I certainly don't want to be the person that they see me coming and they try to dodge you, right? That just sucks the air out of the room as soon as they get here. That's just reality. There's some people that are like that. But we want to be the opposite, right? Amen. We want to encourage other people. And we never want to provide... There's also people that you know when they're brought into the middle of a situation, especially maybe even a situation of conflict, that you know it will get better and it will calm down as opposed to escalating, right? And you know who those people are. You know the people when you're in the middle of conflict, you don't want to bring them into the middle of it because you know it's going to escalate. We want to be the people that people trust to say, no, they're going to be the calm head, yes, right? They're going to talk, we need to be peacemakers, right? We need to be the calm, peaceful participants in those circumstances, because peace is a fruit of the spirit, right? Mm-hmm. Contention, that's a work of the flesh, okay? And we need to do that to the best of our ability, and certainly hope we can follow Philemon's example, that the heart of the saints can be encouraged by our actions of service toward others.
We thank you for listening to today's message and invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For further information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.